Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cyient Q2 FY19 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rayo. Good evening to everyone. On behalf of Edelweiss, let me welcome you to the Cyient Q2 FY19 earnings call. We have with us the senior management of Cyient, headed by Mr. B.V.R. Mohan Reddy, along with senior members of the management team. Without further ado, I will hand over the call to Mr. Ajay Agarwal to start the proceedings. Thanks.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Cyient's earnings call for second quarter of financial year 2019, ended 30th September 2018. I am Ajay Agarwal, President and CFO. Present with me is also the Executive Chairman, Mr. Mohan Reddy, and Mr. Krishna Bodanapu, the Managing Director and CEO. Before we begin, let me make the customary statement that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in our website, which has been emailed to you and also posted on our website. Yeah. This call will be accompanied with our usual presentation, and same has already been shared with you. I now invite Mr. Mohan Reddy to provide a brief overview of the company's performance for the quarter.
Thank you, Ajay, and a very good evening to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. I once again like to extend a very warm welcome to all of you to this conference call. The Q2, that's the quarter two of financial year 2019, was a very robust quarter for Cyient, with all-round growth, wherein we have saw many milestones happening in the quarter. To start with, we saw the highest ever quarterly revenue at $168.9 million, with a strong growth of 5.1% and 12.5% quarter-on-quarter in US dollar terms. I repeat, it's 5.1% quarter-on-quarter and 12.5% year-on-year in dollar terms. In constant currency, we grew by 6.5% quarter-on-quarter and 14.5% year-on-year. I repeat, it's 6.5% quarter-on-quarter and 14.5% year-on-year on constant currency terms. The services revenue grew by 3.5% quarter-on-quarter on a constant currency basis. In INR terms, we saw revenue growth of 9.9% quarter-on-quarter and 23.0% year-on-year. Again, I repeat, 9.9% quarter-on-quarter, 23% on year-on-year on INR terms. The services operating margin expanded by 212 basis points quarter-on-quarter at 15.3%, which is primarily led by utilization improvement of 294 basis points. The group operating margin is at 13.7%, an expansion of 151 basis points quarter-on-quarter. The operating profit is at 162.6 crores or 1,626 million rupees, which is a quarter-on-quarter growth of 23.5%. Net profit for the year stood at INR 127.1 crores or 1,271 million rupees, which is a growth of 54% quarter-on-quarter. We continue to have a healthy cash balance. Currently, the cash balance stands at 1,211 crores in rupees. The cash flow to EBITDA conversion for the quarter stood at 72%. The company declared an interim dividend at 6 per share at the board meeting earlier this morning. On the infrastructure front, Cyient received an AS9100 Rev D and an ISO9001:2015 quality certification for our Melbourne facility in Florida, U.S.A. We successfully completed our TL9000 second self-evident audit for our Hyderabad and Paragon locations. Cyient-Blue joint venture won the first order from Indian Army for the SpyLight Mini UAV, which is a significant step in the right direction. We also extended our Pune facility to accommodate growth in for one key customer. As a part of our ongoing CSR initiative, we continue to support 25 government schools in educating the underprivileged children. As a part of the Green Drive initiative, Cyient Foundation participated in the Harithaharam, a mega plantation drive in the state of Telangana. We added 7 more Cyient digital centers to provide digital education resources, taking the total to 67, providing digital literacy to 27,000+ children. On awards and recognition front, Cyient was recognized as the top IT/ITES exporter from the city of Hyderabad in the category of 1,000+ crores. Cyient got a major contender in the Everest Group Verification and Validation Engineering Services PEAK Matrix 2018. I'm also happy to report that Cyient featured the top 20 most promising aerospace technical solution providers list in the CIO Review. With this, I'd like to hand over the call to Ajay, who will take you through the detailed financial performance, and then Krishna, our CEO, will speak to you on the business performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohan. In terms of our quarter, as Chairman said, where we have clocked $168.9 million or 11,870 million INR. This is our highest revenue, and the growth rate, if you look at in constant currency, is 6.5%. This is just taking through the color of the verticals. If you look at the group, which is both our services and manufacturing, you would find that in most of the business groups or the verticals, we are seeing good traction there. Even the solutions business or our end-to-end manufacturing is also moving in nice direction. A&D is moving at about 7.4% quarter-on-quarter. When you look at communication, while we are seeing a number of 1%, actually, that's because of in DLM, we have let go of some business which was low margin. If you look at communication per se, we are at about 2.6% constant currency. That's about 4% growth in communication in this particular quarter. Just to complete that comment about what business we have let go of in case of communications in DLM. Without that also you will see that our DLM business is growing very handsomely, and as we come to the end of the presentation, you will see we are meeting or exceeding the guidance on DLM, and this is a net margin accretive. In terms of UNG, you can see we have there's no DLM business here. In constant currency, we have a 4% growth. Transport, we have 2.3% growth in constant currency. INR, almost 5%. Semiconductor, 8.8% in constant currency. Of course, this has a benefit of about $3 million of revenue from our acquisition, where we have taken 2 months of revenue last quarter, and this quarter we have accounted 3 months of revenue. That's an addition of about $1.4 million in the quarter. Medical, if you see, you will see a number for combined this thing of 24% quarter-on-quarter. Even for services alone,
the number is quite good. So the point I'm making is that if you see, in terms of most of our industries, and if you look at the next chart, 13.5% growth, most of the industries, if you take communication at that 12%, then all the industries except UNG, which is flattish year on year, minus 2%, all of them are going in double digits. So I again repeat, 6 out of 7 industries are growing in double digits year on year during the quarter, and this is quite a reflection of how we have seen the whole year. In terms of the profitability, let me take you through what has happened in terms of operating the profit. I think we're very delighted to see that, you know, we are on track what targets we have set for ourselves. In terms of services business, we have expanded about 200 basis plus margin. It is in a quarter where we also gave the wage hike that had an impact of about 100 basis. No doubt we got some benefits from exchange rate. Even if you cancel each other out, still we have 200 plus basis points improvement, which is purely on account of the efficiencies and the volume. So I think this will continue as we move during the year. I'm sure Krishna will talk more about it, but I think operating margin is on track. Operational efficiencies are picking up. And this is, again, despite the fact that we continue to make investments on MBA, which we have spent as for the plan, we are likely to track to the plan for the year, which is further adding to the benefits in the coming year. Roughly, we saw that, you know, for 1% spent on MBA, we are taking about something like 8 to 10% of earnings growth in this year. And we just reviewed today, we are adding that 8 to 10% in year 3 to year 5 to our earnings growth. So if our normal earnings growth, let us say, is historically about 15% CAGR, because of new business accelerator, it will be likely to be more like 18% plus just because of this initiative. So that's what I wanted to clarify, that we have achieved 200 basis points of improvement purely from operations and also making investments into the new business accelerator as per the plan. At the group level, I think D&M continues to do nicely. They have internally, they have met all their, you know, whatever expectations we had from them during the quarter, and the margin is positive. And overall, for the group, the margin is up by 1.5%. Let me take you through when we look at the 54% expansion of profit after growth. You definitely have some questions on that, so let me spend a minute or two on this. When you look at profit after tax, you will see that, you know, we do have two special things that I would like to mention. One is we have the other income on account of some incentives that we are getting on export of merchandise and engineering services, both for our services business and DLM. For the quarter, we have got about 234 million INR, and for the full year, we expect this amount to be something like 450 million INR, and it is something which will be recurring, which so whatever benefit we are getting, it is not one-off. It will continue in the next year at the similar levels of about 450 million INR. Second, you can see that there is a forex restatement of 207 million. This is on basis of a exchange rate change from the beginning of the year from around 65 to about 72. And if you look at the overall situation continuing at this level, our expectation is on the restatement itself, we should have 35 crore to 45 crore of benefit if the rupee was to close at 72 to 74 levels, depending on what assumption we make. So these are two items which are there in this quarter, but we don't see them as one-off. In terms of the tax rate, we will find a number of 29.8%. Let me explain to you how to read it. Last year, our reported tax rate was 26%. We had committed to 200 basis points of improvement year on year. We are absolutely on track on that. I think half of it was based on the government change in terms of US tax. That's going through very nicely. Also, we have looked at the growth coming from the businesses in the new further development that we are doing in special economic zones. So both put together are giving us a saving of about 200 basis points. But some of this other income, for example, from this incentive, is taxed at 34%. Because of that, you will see the reported tax will be more like 25%. So ideally, you should have seen against 26% to 24% tax rate. But in the final P&L, we should see a rate of 25%. But this for a good reason. Whatever is the increase in tax, the increase in the PBT is much higher than that for obvious reasons. And we are on track to have a tax rate on a steady state of 22% to 23%. That's what another thing I would like to clarify. I think there was a lot of confusion in terms of some of the drivers of operating margin. So we have enhanced our disclosure, and you can look at this sheet. This is what I broadly explained to you, and we'll also explain to you how we anticipate the situation at this stage. I think when we met last time, I think our clarity in terms of what is likely to happen, also our preparedness for growth. But this time we are very clear what has happened, and we'll also articulate to you what is likely to happen on this for the full year. Most of the other income I already explained. I would say that, you know, in terms of the forward contracts, we have a 62 million INR of loss during the quarter. Last quarter we had about 4 crore of loss, and this is in line with what we expected. And in terms of unrealized effect gains, I already said that, you know, we have got in the last 2 quarters about 26 crore. Our estimate is that current rate it should be 35 to 45 crore. Of course, we don't build it into running the business, but it's purely from the perspective of how the profit growth is likely to happen. Roughly, we have about $35 million of net monetary assets between foreign exchange assets and liabilities. So for every 1 rupee change, I think we have an impact of about 5 crore on this restatement. That's how I talked about that number of 35 crores. I'll go to the next item in terms of our hedge book. So as you have seen, we have been very consistent in our policy. Despite the fluctuation, no change in the policy, we are covered for 70% 12 months forward. Total coverage is $127 million. And for the current situation, we have, if spot rate was to be continued at current rate, that's about 72.6. Then our loss for the next 12 months will be $2.5 million. Most of that will be in the next 6 months. And the rest here, our position is around 73 for the 6 months of the next year. So there will be no profit or loss there. That's what we expect. Last time, we had some runoffs where, in terms of DSO, there were some concerns. I'm very happy to inform that, you know, we have got a reduction of 7 days, as Chairman said, quarter on quarter. This is despite the fact that currency was a headwind. So we are not taking that into account. If you take that like to like, this number will look like more like 9 days of reduction quarter on quarter. And free cash flow we have generated of about 1.85 billion INR and 72%. On design and manufacturing also, you will see we have generated a positive free cash flow. We are very happy on design and manufacturing. As I said earlier, revenue, profit, cash, I think all are tracking internally to the plans that we have and the output that we have given. So again, having a positive cash flow, which is likely to be sustained for the full year, is a good news for us. With this, I hand over to Krishna. Only my comment is that, you know, whatever you have seen in terms of some of the things that have happened in quarter 3, we are very confident that on each of those items, we will have extremely good year. And with that, I'm handing over to Krishna for his business update.
Thank you, Ajay. So in terms of the business update, the first thing that I'll talk about is Science Systems and Solutions, which is the UAV venture that we have along with Bluebird Aerosystems, which is there. As Chairman said, and I think there was a press release also on this earlier in the quarter, We won our first deal. We believe that we have a very comprehensive solution for this market. You'll see that we've identified about $190 million pipeline, and this is probability adjusted pipeline. So the sort of raw numbers would actually be much higher than this. So there is a good, robust pipeline. We believe this, we've found a good niche for us to deliver a complete solution. And we will continue to work on this, and we will continue to address this market. Also, the other thing is the new business accelerator. This is the accelerator where, if you recall, we said we invest 1% of our revenue, in undertaking technology, new business models, et cetera, to prove them out and take them to market. And I'll say, while we haven't generated revenue from there yet, but there are certain projects that got added into the pipeline. So there's a total of 19 different projects that we're working on. And we're seeing some significant traction in the products and solutions that are being generated under this MBA gamut, especially in the IoT space and also some of the other emerging or new technology space. What we believe is these initiatives will accelerate science EPS growth from year 3 on this, which is FY 2012. So we are taking this investment. If you remember last quarter, that was one of the reasons why margins had dipped also, was because we were making the 1% investment in the MBA, sorry. We will continue to do that, and we believe that in a year's time, which is FY, 18 months' time, which is FY 21, actually we will see the benefit in the EPS acceleration. In terms of the investment pipeline and focus areas, I would just say, no significant movement there. There's a few things that we've done over the course of the first half of the year. Anthem was acquired. We bought 100% of Science Insights, which is now a part of Science, which is the analytics company. We also finished a JV with Bluebird. But we will continue down this path with more inorganic investments. While a big acquisition is something that we would like to do, the reality is it's not, there's few and far in between. And therefore, we're also looking at other ways in which we can enhance our competitiveness. There was no commentary on what sort of companies we're looking for, and I'll leave that because that hasn't changed much over the last few quarters. In terms of the business outlook and updates, aerospace and defense is witnessing a strong growth. We do have a little bit of challenge in Q3 in AMD just because of the cyclicality, but in spite of that, we believe we have in a very good position. For the year, the revenue and services will grow high single digits, but more importantly, the integrated revenue, that is services plus manufacturing, will grow in the double digits. And we're seeing some very, very good opportunities, and the pipeline continues to build. So this is a very large part of our business, in fact, the largest part of our business, and we see some very, very good traction going forward. In terms of the communications industry, I would say we did reasonably well in APAC and NAM. We do have some challenges in Europe that we are working through. While if you look at the numbers, and Ajay talked about them, in terms of quarter and quarter, there is a growth. In terms of year on year, also, we have more than a double digit growth. In constant currency year on year, there is 14% growth. So we think that the comms business still has a lot of momentum behind it, and we're working on, we do have a short-term dip in the sense that between Q4 and Q1, we had a small drop in revenue, but we're working on it to make sure that for the year, we'll still come up around this 14% number and be improved. Utilities and geospatial is also in an interesting spot, I would say. We have, essentially, we are calling a flat number there, that is, there won't be any growth. And we think we have mitigated against a degrowth scenario also, but essentially, we will be flat. There are a lot of things that are going on in the industry. I think we have finally managed to build some good offerings and some good propositions to the market. We're really in the early stages of studying it, so we're not necessarily seeing the potential traction from those opportunities. But again, I believe that this is just a matter of time, because a lot of investment has gone into building the right capabilities in utilities and geospatial. Transportation is another very strong growth driver for us. Year on year, the transportation business grew 14.8%, almost 15%. We see that there is a lot of traction. There is also a fair amount of disruption and change that's coming in the transportation industry, which gives us a good opportunity to be successful in that industry. The next one is industrial energy and natural resources. I'd say this is a good outlier business, especially on the positive sense. With all the investments that are going on in oil and gas, but also in mining, especially driven by the fact that prices have recovered quite a bit, we do see significant investments in these areas, and we believe that that will help us, if the position correctly, to help us quite a bit with growth. We believe we have the right set of services for this industry, which are primarily revolve not just around traditional engineering, but more around, more importantly, around things like IoT, connected devices, and so on and so forth. We're seeing some very, very good traction. I think this is one industry or one set of industries where we did not have a very good run for the last couple of years. I think this time around, we're definitely back to a situation where we will show some very good numbers and some very good growth. The semiconductor industry is also, the industry itself is doing very well. It's growing 4.4% year-on-year, and that too in a business that is at least $600 million. That's a large set of growth. I think we're also participating quite well. Our proposition of having an integrated data capture, data transmit and sort of data interpretation, which is basically the analytics business, the whole continuum is going very well, and we continue to be quite bullish there. Medical technology is also, you know, the market itself is growing. I believe we have found a good niche in the market or a good proposition in the market with MOM, which is machine-to-machine communication. Also with things like IoT, additive manufacturing, et cetera. We'll continue to grow in that business. If you look at the numbers, while the numbers are agreed a little bit small, but it is a 9.1% quarter-on-quarter growth if you take the integrated business. Also it is, I think, a 25% year-on-year growth. What I would suggest there especially is, you know, we have to look at the integrated services for design because those two parts of the value chain are very integrated in that industry. Net-net, I'd say most of the businesses are performing quite well, gives us confidence of having a good year ahead. What I'll do quickly is just take you through the outlook for the year, and also compare it to how this looks like when we talk about the Q1 outlook. I just want to quickly say that Q1 outlook wasn't the most robust. Honestly, we were caught a little bit off guard because a lot of the currency changes only happened just before the announce. We were still assessing the impact of what the currency changes mean for us. Therefore, I think we were probably, or we definitely weren't as communicative as we could have been. I think now we have a clear understanding, and therefore we have a much better understanding where our business will end up. In terms of revenue, we said double-digit revenue growth in services. We still hold that view. DLM will grow at least by 20%. This is the legacy DLM, which is a company called Runcim Electronics that we purchased. Overall, VMware will grow even better, obviously, because VMS acquisition is also there. Operating profit growth will be in double digits. It will be more than
Double of last year.
More than double of last year. Last year we grew 13%, so you can extrapolate that. From a percentage perspective, it will be at least double of last year. What we also believe is that the operating margin will be about 50 basis points higher than what it was. If you look at the table, it gives you a sense of what are the drivers that we're looking for, be it utilization. Obviously, FX gain is something that we hadn't budgeted at the beginning of the year, but FX gain gives us a fair amount of benefit, which helps us mitigate against things like wage hike. Obviously, there's the additional investment in MVA that's also there. All this taken into account, put together, we believe we'll still get about a 50 basis points improvement in margin. DLM margin will also improve. It will be in single digits. We believe that at a PAT level, we will break even this time, which is the first time under our management that's happened. Also, you know, the other income has been higher. That helps a little bit with at least the profit after tax. Tax rate is in line with what we thought, and therefore, what I'm very happy and contented to report is, if you look at all the parameters, we are in green. There's only one utilization where we are in yellow, but we can live with that because the rest of the parameters more or less make up for what we can do in FY 2019. So net-net, I'll say the outlook remains robust. We believe that we have had a very good quarter, and the momentum will continue into the second half of the year, and therefore it will be another good FY 2019. So with that, I will turn it over for any questions or comments.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Urmil Shah from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a good quarter. My first question is on the revenue growth for the services business. Was it slightly less than what we were expecting at the start of the quarter? And secondly, for a double-digit growth for the full year, it appears like you know verticals like communication, transportation, IE&R might have to do the heavy lifting in the second half. Your comments on the same?
Absolutely, Urmil. I think the one is, yes, we came in at, in terms of constant currency quarter-on-quarter, we came in at 3.5% in services. And that is, you know, that's in the range of what we were expecting. 3%-4% is what we were expecting at the beginning of the quarter, so we came in pretty much exactly where we thought we would come in. So that is quite, you know, we're quite happy with it. In terms of the rest of the year, yeah, I mean, communications, we're seeing a good pipeline. We will have a good growth there. IE&R transport will do well. Aerospace also will have a good uptick, especially in Q4, because the challenge with aerospace is, Q3, we have a significant capacity problem, given that a lot of our business is also U.S.-centric, so we need a lot of capacity. So having said that, I'd say, in UNG, we are struggling a little bit still, and we believe flat is the best case, or a realistic case, a realistic case scenario there. But we believe that there is enough momentum in the rest of the businesses to carry us through to the double digits that we're talking about.
Sure. Next question to Ajay. As regards, you know, 100 basis points downward revision, as regards benefit from utilization, offshoring, and other efficiency drivers, your commentary on that. And also, as regards the JV with Blue Bird and the NBA EPS accretion coming from FY 2021. So what is the kind of investment we should build in for FY 2020 and 2021 for both these factors?
So if you think about the utilization, offshoring, and other efficiency, I think, as far as utilization is concerned, most of those businesses are tracking to what we envisaged, and I think we are doing well on that. As far as offshoring is concerned, I think, right now what we are seeing is, while you will see quarter-on-quarter, there is an improvement in offshoring, but for the full year, we are assuming that we will not get what we had originally expected. These are the two major drivers, and we just want to be transparent on how much we will be able to get to this. And the fact is, currency is also helping us, so it's not that we are very desperate to make sure that we tighten every single bit and get to that margin anyhow. So that element is also playing in. Second question, in terms of the JV, I think we are anticipating an investment of about $5 million.
for that particular JV-related activities. And I would say whatever is the business in Cyient systems and solutions, between that New World JV as well as the other programs that we have on specialized communication equipment. And from 2021, I think we are looking at, you know, almost a similar return on that investment, which is a gestation period of 2 years. As far as MG is concerned, that's already factored in. It's a very small amount of CapEx. So if we are talking about, let's say, $6 million-$7 million, I would say the CapEx is less than $1 million in that. That would not have too much of impact. All of that is already written off. The only investment which is right now $5 million, we'll keep giving you an update on that. That will start kicking in the financial statement. Broadly, my estimate is that, you know, we should have earnings growth of 5%-7% from year three because of these investments plus MG.
Sure. Ajay, just a clarification. The $5 million in the New World JV would have a EBITDA impact or it includes also CapEx investment?
No, this has mostly CapEx investment. So I would say that you can assume that all the investment is capitalized and whatever is the benefit, as Krishna said, it will start flowing in from financial year 2021.
What could be the impact on EBITDA from this?
So I would say that, you know, we just got this initial order from the defense. We are still to get the commercial orders on the communication system. Give us some more time. We have been very transparent on this. As we keep progressing, we keep on giving you the investment as well as the return. Right now, I think let's just look at this guidance that, you know, these investments, we are very confident from year three, whether it's 2021 onwards or 18 months from now, I think we should start getting some 5%-7% earnings growth accelerator, both because of MG and other investments.
Sure. Thank you so much, and appreciate the increase in the disclosure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, the question is on the services business. So, just a clarification, when you say a double-digit growth in services business for FY 2019, are we saying in the US dollar terms?
So we're saying in constant currency terms. Sorry, we're saying in both. We will get to that number in both USD and constant currency, or obviously.
Okay.
USD, which means in constant currency.
Okay. So if I look at the 1Q and 2Q number, the ask rate for 3Q and 4Q would be 4.5%, when we are entering into a seasonally soft quarter, which is Q3, which has historically impacted you. So what is the confidence of saying this double digit? Is it based on a signed business, or is it based on expected deal ramp-ups and the deal signings?
No, so it's, you know, how we measure pipeline is there is a certain element of that which is in the backlog that's been signed. So there's also an element which is, you know, business that's going to come in and, you know, we're in various stages of closure with that business. So it's a combination of both these. And so there is still a risk here. It's not that, you know, 10% or sorry, double digit is minimum, and then we will add on top of that. So it's obviously the prudence is there, but having looked at the pipeline and the backlog, we're saying it will be double digit.
Okay. Okay. So is it a fair way to look at that, Q4 could be a very high growth quarter with Q3 maybe seasonally soft?
Yeah. That's fair. So what we believe is, you know, what will happen in Q3 is there will be seasonal softness, but there's also growth. So we'll still have a decent Q3, we believe. And then you take the seasonality out, automatically Q4 will be quite strong.
Okay. 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 And just wanted a clarification again. What are we guiding for the tax rate for the full year? You said, Ajay, but just one more, if you can once again clarify on the same, how to look at it.
I said our yes, please. Please go on.
Yeah. And the second, I think the incentive you said that $450 million will even continue in FY 2020. Is it right?
Yes.
Okay. So just on the tax rate.
Yeah. So the tax rate, I think the reported tax will be 25%, including one-offs.
Okay. Okay. Next year, including incentives, you are saying it will come down to 22-23.
That's right, because we do have one item where there is a dividend that has been received from one of the subsidiaries. That's the way it works is showing up in ETR. Some of it is matched, whereas we get adjusted when we distribute the dividend to the shareholders. So to that extent, our tax is high, which will not be there in the next year.
Okay. Thanks. If I have more questions, we'll come in the follow-up.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Rateria from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Good execution on margins. Firstly, Krishna, I just want to check on the DLM transition from the legacy to the synergy deals. We were chasing some large deals, but in terms of order intake number, that's not reflected yet. So if you could update on what the pipeline looks like and are we expecting some large deals to close on the synergy deal side in the next two quarters?
From the perspective of the transition in DLM, if you see the mix of the business is really getting more and more business. If you look at our verticals where we saw strong growth, A&D is almost 27%, INR is 12%, and MTNS is 29%. All that is reflected because we are getting a lot of business from our kind of synergy customers that is coming in. But from the perspective of the margin also, this is helping because most of this business is 15% plus. In terms of the other intake, I would say that, we still have the pipeline, which is there for us. But in terms of the growth that we have guided of about 35% plus for our manufacturing business, we are very confident about that, and that's including the backlog and the pipeline that we have.
I mean, I'll just add to that, Gaurav, and say that the reality also is that the way that the synergy business happens is there is going to be small orders to start with because there will be design, there will be prototype and certification and so on and so forth. So if you look at it, there's a fair amount of backlog that's already there. And then the synergy business is really starting small just because there has to be design, there has to be prototype certification. So taking all that into account is where our confidence comes from. And like I just said, the legacy business will grow at least 20% this year. And if we add the acquisition of BMS, which is another specialized tool manufacturer, then we'll get to the 35% range for the year. So it's a combination of those things that gets us to where we are.
Thank you. Second question for Ajay. You broadly described the various factors which will help you to get to the margins for the full year. If you can help us understand what of all these things has already played out and what are likely to play in 2H, that will be very, very helpful.
If you look at the easiest one is currency. What we are assuming is that the currency, whatever is the current level, that's about 72. If that 72 continues, then for the full year, you have a benefit of about 160 bits. For the quarter, we have already seen that we had a gain of 60 bits of gain during the quarter. So currency has already played out. Indirect cost absorption, if you look at sub 70 bits versus 50 bits, if you look at current quarter, we have an absorption benefit of about 1%. So it's already there in H1 and quarter 2. And with the volumes playing out, this is also certain. Utilization I already commented. We are already up by about 2.5-3%. So that has already played out. Offshoring is, I already said we are not baking much into it. And in terms of additional investment in India, we already have 19 projects underway and more or less it is crystallized. So I would say most of the drivers, except the assumption on the FX gain, are there and they seem to be quite predictable.
So, sir, I just wanted to understand that from a Q-on-Q perspective over the next two quarters, barring the FX gains, what all other factors can help you on the margins? Because I do understand that there is some going to be seasonality element in 3Q where the payday and billing day will be different and there will be some impact on the margins from that. Thank you.
So Gaurav, I would say that, you know, there could be some risk, there could be some opportunity. I would say that, you know, you can always say that, you know, when you estimate something like 50 bps, depending on each of these drivers, the worst case could be 30 bps, best case could be something like 70 bps. So I would not read too much into that. I think whether it is adoption, whether it is utilization, at this stage, but I would say the band of, you know, 30 to 70 bps is what I would say if you push me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Madhu Babu from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Sir, Topicons have been a bit soft this quarter. Any particular call out there?
No, nothing. I think it's just a point in time thing. There's no issues in with the Topicons. It's just a point in time thing. The other thing is in some of the businesses, especially on the utilities and geospatial business, some of the new accounts are actually doing quite well. And that's been one of the key concerns of long-term sustainability, just, you know, getting the right kind of accounts and getting them to ramp up. So I would say it's more, you know, some of the new accounts are kicking in, especially in utilities and geospatial and also in IE&R. So that is driving this quite a bit. So nothing to be concerned about.
Sir, second thing on the semiconductors, which are currently around $32 to $33 million kind of annual practice for us. Whereas I think if you see that industry as such is seeing strong momentum in the engineering side, at least in terms of spend as well as the semiconductor cycle. So would you look for further acquisitions to scale this practice? Because even after the Ansen acquisition, it is very subscale in terms of the overall view.
Absolutely. We are quite pragmatically and proactively looking at various options there. Like you said, even after Ansen, it's still a little bit subscale. But I think we have a very, very clear strategy that's articulated there. I think we know what we want to do there and how we're going to do it. We also have a good process for identifying targets in that BU. We have some good, very good leadership in that BU that understands the business. So that is definitely a part of the plan, and we're looking at more opportunities. Only thing I'd say is that the challenge is a number of the companies in that sector end up being more staff providers, which is not what we want. We really want companies which have the right capability that support our vision to be able to design and then you know, work with partners to get shift fabricated, so take the end-to-end ownership. And if you look at it, Ansen has that capability, and actually a lot of their revenue comes only when it ships, which is what we want, which is where we want to be in that business. So while there is a lot of companies and you'll see some activity in that industry, we are being quite picky because we really want that competence to design rather than provide manpower.
And aerospace, how are we seeing the top account growth in that SBU and the new accounts which we have mentioned of adding? So is there any account which, you know, you can see strong scalability? I'm expecting whether there is the other engine maker which you are trying to pursue for quite some time.
No, there won't be any from the other engine maker. I think our top customer has been fine. I mean, the growth rate would still be slower than the company average, but we are where we are with them. I mean, it is a very large opportunity. So we also are now, you know, this is how it's worked for the last 20 years. There we grow, we plateau, we grow, we plateau. I think we're coming off the time plateau period because there's a few opportunities that have been identified that will really get us to the next step of growth. Also, you know, there were projects like War on Cost where it was a risk reward project based on actual outcomes. That project is starting to pay the revenue, so that we are going to see some good profitability because you know, cost has already been incurred and now we're getting some good revenue. So top account, I'm not too worried. There are a few others. There's no aero engine manufacturer, but there's some very large others, the OEMs and Tier 1, both of which are doing quite well in that business. And you know, while the top account has grown some, the non-UPC business in aerospace has really grown about 50% year on year. And we continue to believe that momentum will continue.
Can I just add, Krishna, just to add to that, I think in terms of the services,
yes, the growth of aerospace may be marginally lower than the company average for the cycle. But if you look at aerospace, also there is a lot of focus on solutions. And if you look at what traction is coming from our larger customers and everything, if you look at our growth during those solutions or manufacturing, this number is going to be much higher than the company average. So you are looking at 20-25%, 20-25% kind of a growth in aerospace if you combine that together.
Because Quest works with both Rolls-Royce and Pratt, so I'm just wondering why Rolls-Royce we can't. I mean, because the UTC has already exited the stake, right? So whether Rolls-Royce will chip in as a customer.
Well, it's not that simple. I think it's a more complicated and nuanced approach. I just say that you know we are where we are, and overall we believe that where we are with Pratt is also in a very different spot in terms of scale and complexity and so on and so forth. But what we see is yeah, going forward, the top account will grow very, the performance of the top account will also change because there's some very significant opportunities. And it puts us in a very different lead with them on what they're going to do.
Okay, sir, thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sri Vatsan Ramachandran from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to get comments on two questions. One is, what is the exact nature of this incentive in terms of is it paid by whom and what kind of cash flows will it follow? The second is, one is on currency. For about 4.5 to 5% depreciation of rupee, 80 basis points margin expansion seems too low. Is there any change in terms of the broad thumb rule we should work with, which is about 30 basis points or 1% depreciation? Any changes there?
So first on the currency side, I think if you see our revenue growth is 5.1% in dollar terms and 6.5%. What it tells you, there is a headwind of 1.4% in cross currency, all right? And we do have a good share of currencies in Australian dollar, in GBP and euro. So I think that headwind, when you look at, so I think there's no change in the sensitivity of whatever we said, 20 basis points for every 1% change. But sometimes we need to pattern how the other currencies behave that impact on. That's one part. Second, in terms of the incentives, I think it is a combination of the incentives for our designed manufacturing facilities, with government incentives. It also includes for services where you know we have specialized services, engineering services, or geospatial services, which are entitled for these incentives that we have. So some other incentives. So all this put together is this bucket. And I think from whatever is the impact on the city state on the accrual basis will be the impact on the tax rate. That's what you can simply take that. And as I said, we have already received that money, whatever we have taken, most of it we have received. So that's what it is.
And just to clarify on the incentive, this is all from Government of India. It's not from some client incentive or anything.
So this is, if you look at this bucket called other income, I said that it will take care of all the incentives in grants across the globe, but most of it will be India.
Yeah, so I think there is there's two buckets in India, but also because of the expansion that we're doing in various states in the U.S., we've also got some benefits from the U.S.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Question is from the line of Abhishek S from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding demand. Krishna, are there any early indications of customers becoming watchful in terms of their spend patterns?
Not really, Abhishek. I don't see any significant structural fine. I mean, there's always going to be one-off because of certain customer situations. We'll always have, you know, one-off caution. But structurally, I don't see any challenges to demand at this point. Even if I and even if I take into account some of the cyclicality in the industries that we work in, like oil and gas has a lot of cyclicality, semiconductor has its own cyclicality. Even if I take into cognizance the cyclicality of the industry, at this point, I don't see any challenges to demand, at least structural challenges to demand.
That's helpful. And my second question is, you know, if I can rephrase the 100 basis points downward revision in the utilization and other drivers in the margin, assumption, do we believe that, you know, any of this metric would deteriorate in the H2, meaning utilization or offshoring? Because if I look at it from a 4Q18 and a 2Q19 perspective, utilization is, you know, at a similar level. So what are we building in the next half of the fiscal?
See, the Q3 will always have structural challenges because there's some parts of our business which are quite US-centric or Europe-centric, where we will lose some capacity, or even Australia-centric. So we will lose some capacity, but, you know, what we believe is there is enough demand to add new capacity that can make up for the lack of any drop in utilization. You know, there will be a little bit of dip, but it won't be anything that is concerning or meaningful in terms of Q3.
Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we'd like to inform participants that in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Shamil Dhru from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question and congrats on good set of numbers. So my first question is on the BLM front. So in initial comments, you had mentioned that we exited from some of the telecom segment which were low margin in the BLM side. So can you just explain what type of projects were there, and are there any more projects where we are planning to exit in next few quarters?
So this was for a telecom equipment manufacturer. It was low margin, but more importantly, then fit into the strategy of what we were trying to achieve. So we gave them a notice and we've exited the business as of end of, we ramped down in Q2 and we will completely exit in Q3. There won't be anything that is significant that will stand out for at least the rest of the year in terms of an exit. As demand is picking up and the fact that we don't want to add unnecessary capacity, we're trying to rebalance it in such a way that the new synergistic revenue that's coming in, high margin, the type of revenue that we want that's coming in, to service that, we'll add capacity by, or we will free capacity by giving up some of the low margin non-synergistic work. And that's basically what we continue for at least the rest of the year. Next year, obviously, we'll review it as the year progresses. But at this point, we won't drop any large chunks of business.
Thank you. The next
question
is from the line of Pradyumna Singhania from Anderson Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. So my first question is, the guidance that you've given us for the outlook for FY19 in your presentation, is that in constant currency terms or is that in INR?
Can I see? See, as far as, whatever is the currency that we monitor, the way we look at it is, as far as growth of revenue is concerned, it is taken in dollar terms and constant currency. As far as operating profit and net profit are concerned, they are taken in rupee terms.
Okay, so a follow-up on that question. So because you've given double-digit growth guidance in operating profits and in revenue growth, why have you just given a guidance of a high single-digit growth for FY19?
This is just a commentary on the business. We don't give guidance as a rule. So this is just a commentary on the business. You can do the math and that will get you the number ultimately. But essentially, what I would suggest we look at is what is the revenue growth, what is the change in operating margin, and also the commentary on below the operating margin for the stack, which is the best way to extrapolate what the operating profit growth is and potentially net profit growth is.
All right. All right. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. Due to time constraints, we take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
So, on behalf of Cyient leadership team, I'd like to thank everyone who has participated in our Q2 financial results earnings call. As both Krishna and Ajay have assured you, we not only have good results, but we also have good momentum in our business. We'll make sure that we'll have double-digit growth on revenue and margin, and margin expansion will be 50 basis points moving forward. With that, I will conclude today's call by thanking you all one more time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Edelweiss Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.